Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number, 26?
Yes. Vaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam. Anugrahena Srinavam Manoharaha. Tasvadaya menu padam visvindutaha. Priyasvavasyanga mama bhavadvujati. Tatra. Thereupon. Anu. Every day. Aham. I. Krishna Katha. Narration of Lord Krishna's activities. Vagayatam. Describing. Anugrahena. By causeless mercy. Asrinavam. Giving oral reception. Mana haraha. Attractive. Taha. Those. Shradaya. Respectfully. May. Unto me. Anupadam. Every step. Visrinvataha. Hearing attentively. Priyasravasi. Of the personality of Godhead. Anga. O Vyasadev. Mama. Mine. Abhavat. It so became. Ruchihi. Taste. O Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. Lord Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead is attractive, not only in his personal features, but also in his transcendental activities. It is so because the absolute is absolute by his name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. The Lord descends on this material world out of his causeless mercy and displays his various transcendental pastimes as a human being, so that human beings attracted towards him become able to go back to Godhead. Men are naturally apt to hear histories and narrations of various personalities performing mundane activities, without knowing that by such association one simply wastes valuable time and also becomes addicted to the three qualities of mundane nature. Instead of wasting time, one can get spiritual success by turning his attention to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead, and as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead from within, all accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared. Shrimbatam swa katha krishna punya shravana ketana hridyantastoya patrani vidunoti suritsatam. Previously, as explained previously, but as explained before. Thus being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. The whole idea is the main point, I suspect. Prabhupada says here, the whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Quite a powerful statement. Simply by hearing, one can become an associate of the Lord. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss. Satchitananda. And he can travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. What's that making? What is Narada Muni if he can do that? Siddha, right? Siddha. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources. As Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, Bhaktivedantas, in his previous life. This process of hearing in the association of the devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel Kali. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chapsuru Militam Jena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Jaya Tagamano Bishnam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidatri Svavatantika Bukam Karoti Vatsalam Pangum Langhaya Tekirim Yatri Pata Mahamande Sri Guru Dinatara. Tatranvaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam Anugrahena Ashrinavam Manahara. Tasradaya me nopadam Srinvatam. Priyasvavasyanga mama bhavadruchihi. So this verse and purport of the Bhagavatam are dripping with nectar. What else shall we say? There's a lot of interesting things here. So, where to start? Hearing is the key feature of the human being that distinguishes us from the animals. This capacity to hear. And to gain knowledge through hearing. Krishna is adhoksaja, which means he's beyond the sense perception. You know, there are many people who saw Krishna but didn't understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, just seeing is not necessarily understanding. You know, this, we have the saying, seeing is believing. But there are many people who saw Krishna but couldn't understand he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, by empirical analysis of the material world, it's impossible actually to understand the spiritual. Because the spiritual is beyond matter. It is non-material. And using a material, you know, like there's these articles in the papers recently about this particle accelerator, right, and how they're smashing particles together to discover the source of creation. They're looking for the magic particle that holds everything together, you know, what they call the God particle. But, you know, that's just patently absurd. We know that there are atoms and there are things that make up atoms, but they can't, and they're not actually seeing anything. Right? It's not they're seeing anything. They're just looking at the phenomena that comes as a result. You know, the frequency of the waves, I guess you could say, that make up the matter. And how they vibrate, their instruments can pick up those things. But that doesn't really tell them very much about anything other than how the material world works. And even then, they're always coming up with something new. So it's a wonder, we wonder whether they actually know anything at all, because it changes so much. But effectively, you can't use the material facilities, eyes or, you know, particle accelerators with electronic instruments, to perceive something which is beyond the range of material experience. It's not possible. But this information, this understanding can be received, as Prabhupada says. The information is already there. The Bhagavad Gita gives us the information, the Bhagavad Gita already gives us the information of what constitutes and makes up the basis of creation and where it all comes from, the spiritual source from where it all comes from. So this hearing capacity that we have, and the information is already there, is so potent and powerful that one can hear of and understand, not that we can understand everything, but certainly we can understand something of Krishna. This hearing is powerful. It's been a powerful function of the human form. Why it's so valued and why it's so important is that we can gain information beyond our material experience through the hearing. And this is why, and Prabhupada mentions here, this is why Krishna comes into the material world. Avatar means one who descends. Prabhupada says here, the absolute personality of Godhead is attractive, not only in his personal features. He's not only just beautiful, and, you know, Krishna means attractive, all attractive, but also in his transcendental activities. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, if we know or understand the nature of his activities, of his appearance and his activities, and understand their potencies, then Nayatimam iti sorojuna. We don't have to take. We leave the material world and can enter into the spiritual realm, that realm which is beyond material experience. So Prabhupada mentions here, it is so because the Absolute is absolute by his name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. And Prabhupada says here, you know, we have a natural tendency or natural inclination to hear. Right? We have a natural tendency to want to hear about others and what they're doing. Right? How's it going, mate? Oh, not bad. Oh, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Australians, you generally have to prod them a bit to get some information. But, you know, what's going on? This is, everybody wants to know. We're inquisitive. Another feature of the living entity, especially in the human form, we're inquisitive. We want to know why. Why this, why that, why the other thing. So we're apt, Prabhupada said, apt to inquire about others. Right? Tomorrow it'll be, will Sachin Tendulkar hit his 100th century in a Boxing Day test match? Won't it? Nobody's going to own up. In front of Radha Mahalama. But they'll all be listening to the... Anybody got tickets for the test match? Nobody's going to say. So, you know, we inquire. That's why newspapers can... That's why they exist. Right? Because people are inquisitive to find out what's going on. Look at the internet. A huge explosion of information. Right? Accessible to everybody, pretty much. Why we have Google. Right? If you've got a problem or if you want to find out something, what do? You just type it into Google. What's the weather forecast going to be today? Or, you know, what's 3 feet in metres? Type it in, out comes the answer. So we're inquisitive and we like to hear about, we like to know what's going on. But because our inclination is to pursue mundane topics and mundane personalities, that's our inclination. But as it's mentioned here, it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. And as Prabhupada points out here, that pursuit simply keeps us attracted to the modes of material nature. And if you are influenced by the modes of material nature, it means basically staying in the material world, having to take birth again. Huh? They say the modern cricket rivalry is between Australia and India now. So a big, Australia is the team to beat. So it's the big rivalry. You know, if that's what we get caught up in, it means we have to take birth again. As you know, the Indians are thinking about the Australians, so they take birth as Australians, and the Australians are thinking about the Indians, so they take birth as Indians. Yeah. And so we stay in the material world to have another game of cricket. But, you know, better that we hear about Krishna and his pastimes and the games that he plays and be meditating on Krishna when we leave this body, and then we can go and play whatever the equivalent of cricket is in the spiritual world. Right? There must be something. Right? If we're playing cricket here, and the spiritual world is the source of everything, then there must be a game at least as good, if not better than cricket, in the spiritual world. Right? But it is. It has to be. Right? Otherwise, why would there be a game of cricket? Football or whatever. There must be, the archetypal game has to exist in the spiritual world. And that's what Krishna's doing. He's playing with his cowherd boyfriends and enjoying in the forest of Vrindavan. And you hear in the Krishna book so many sporting activities. Right? So many sporting activities. So that's the sporting activities that we should be meditating on and thinking about. Krishna's sporting in Vrindavan. You know, Prabhupada mentions that the material world appears real because it's a reflection of the spiritual realm. Right? Why Krishna appears and performs his pastimes? To attract us to that abode. Janma karma chame jivyam eva vyo miti tatpadaha chakra deham puna janma nayati mamiti sojuna. We don't have to take birth again. If we absorb ourselves in the pastimes of Krishna, we shouldn't mistake Krishna's pastimes for something material. And so therefore, it's recommended, and as is demonstrated here by Narada Muni, anugrahena srinavam manoharaha, regular hearing of the pastimes of Krishna, regular hearing of the topics of Krishna, attract us away from the material, mundane sporting activities to the transcendental sporting activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. And as such, those transcendental activities have great potency. Manoharaha. They're attractive. And purifying. So Narada Muni's example here is regularly hearing the topics about Krishna, regularly hearing the Bhagavatam. What is it? Dashta prayeshva badreshu nitya bhagavata sevaya. Nitya bhagavata sevaya means always or regularly or daily hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other, you know, corollary literature. By regularly hearing, then one becomes purified. The heart becomes cleansed of all unwanted things. If we hear the topics of the mundane materialistic pursuits, and the heart just becomes clouded up and foggy, and our attachments for the material get stronger. But if we're regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, that cuts the knot of attachment to material existence and nourishes our relationship or the understanding of our relationship with Krishna. So the hearing, regular hearing, anupadam, is it? Anu, here, every day. Yeah, tatra anu vaham. Every day I heard the descriptions of Lord Krishna's activities. Anugrahena asrinavam Manoharaha. So by the mercy of the devotees, this is why the devotees association is so important. If we're hearing, we're hearing from devotees. Well, we're not hearing from devotees, and we're hearing from materialistic people. But if we hear from the devotees, then we become purified. If we hear regularly, every day, it's like taking the medicine, regularly, every day, then we become fit and healthy. Or if you take a tonic, Rasayanam Kata, if you take a tonic every day, then it builds up your strength. I noticed this recently because I've been taking these Ayurvedic medicines. You know, take Ayurvedic medicine, if you expect something immediately, forget about it. That's not how it works. It's a holistic. I heard one devotee say, I heard a quotation from a devotee who said, you know, if you need to go to the Ayurvedic doctor, then you're not sick. Right? But that's really... It means it's not understood. You have to go to the doctor because you're acutely unwell and you need something to fix up a problem straight. Okay, go to the allopathic doctor because you've let your condition deteriorate so badly that now you're, you know, close to dying or closer to dying, relatively speaking. But the Ayurvedic system looks at the total metabolism and works out, okay, this is out of balance, that's out of balance. Now let's get it back to a normal setting, to a healthy setting. And you know, we're like that also in one sense. We're acutely addicted to the material world, right? And you know, an instant fix is almost impossible because we've got the disease so badly. So we need to take this medicine regularly on a regular basis, right? To gradually balance the system out so that our ability to transcend the material is strengthened. So we need to be taking the rasayanam, the tonic, on a daily basis. What's that? Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti ritkana rasayanam kata. Bhavanti ritkana rasayanam. This is the hearing of the topics about Krishna is like the tonic, and it's received not through drinking the tonic or eating it, but through the ears to enliven the soul, to purify the heart, to enliven the soul. And again, Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Ketana Pridyanta Stolya Bhadrani Vidimoti Sarit Satam. Cleanse the heart. So it needs to be. We need to hear regularly. And what Prabhupada says, the whole idea is that simply by hearing, taking advantage of this opportunity that we have in the human form of life, to hear, and to hear. And Prabhupada also mentions from the right source. Have to hear from the right persons. If we hear from the mundane materialist, then what does Krishna say? Prabhupada quotes this. Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. This is from the Bhagavad Gita. By your association, then you also become similarly inclined. So we associate with materialistic people? Well, we don't. The first behavior of a Vaishnava is Asat Sangatya. Give up the association of materialistic people, those who are attached to the Asat. Because Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, what you associate with, then you tend to garner or gain the same qualities. So that's why hearing from devotees is so important and is a great blessing, is a great mercy. Here, anugrahena is translated as causeless mercy. So that's what Narada Muni was doing by the causeless mercy of the Lord. He got the association of the devotees, and in the association of the devotees he regularly heard the Bhagavatam. And he was just, how old was he? He was only 5 years old, wasn't he? What was the other feature that he got? Mercy. How else did he get mercy? Prasadam. That's another good reason. You know, if you're hearing from the devotees, that means you're associating with the devotees. And if you're associating with the devotees, that means you're eating prasadam. Right? Hearing, taking prasadam. Plus you'll be getting other instructions. You know, if you're hearing from the devotees, they'll be telling you, surrender to Krishna. Right? Because hearing is one thing. What is it? Tadvidhi pranipatena. It's the right kind of hearing also. The hearing has to be with the right mood, receptivity, right? Humble, one has to be not challenging. So the hearing has to be done with the right mood, with the right intention. I was talking with Enzo last night about supplication. In the mass, or certainly at least in the Anglican tradition, part of the first part of the service before one takes the Eucharist, which is like getting the prasad, then there are prayers of supplication. You know what supplication means? Yes, being submissive. Presenting oneself as a humble servant is supplication, supplicant. Putting oneself before God and saying, I am fallen. You know, there's one prayer that I remember, one of the few prayers that I remember from many years of going to church. There's this one nice line which says, my Lord, I am not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. Right? So this is the mood of supplication. So the mood of hearing, it has to be submissive. Right? I am not, you know, not I'm a devotee and the devotees are the best and we do everything perfectly because Krishna says that we're the best and you're all demons. Hang on, mate. Hang on a second. It was only a few years ago you were also a demon. So supplication means, you know, it means to be humble and submissive in our hearing. So right kind of hearing from the right persons, and then, you know, acting on what's been heard also. Annie asked me the question, an interesting question the other day. She said, if hearing is so important, and hearing from a pure devotee is so important, why don't we just hear Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna? Then, you know, then we don't have to chant our rounds. We can just listen to Prabhupada. Right? How do you like that idea? Don't have to chant your rounds, you just have to listen to Prabhupada, because hearing is all powerful. The only problem is, you know, we could just fall asleep. So, hearing means also acting on the instructions that have been heard, not just hearing, passive hearing, if you like. Right? But it's active. Our listening and hearing is active, and is meant to be then for impetus for further inquiry. Right? Because all of the hearing is on the basis of an inquiry. Isn't it? In all of the Vedic literature, there's always somebody, you know, Sri Pipaladu Uvacha, and then he inquires from Lord Brahma. Isn't it? Or Arjuna is inquiring from Krishna. So there's always an inquiry beforehand. Then there comes instruction. Then one has to follow the instruction, the order. Or if you don't understand the instruction, ask another question. With the aim of then putting that information into practice. So, this is, you know, this is the process. This is our process the process of inquiry, submissive inquiry, or genuine inquiry. Not you know, just some facts and figures. Oh, what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? In you know, chronological order or details of what's taking place, but rather, what are the implications? What are the implicit instructions? There's the explicit and the implicit. And what does that mean for me in terms of how I should now organize and order my life, basically? So that's the, you know, that's the process is a process of purification. And that purification works when one takes advantage of the association of the devotees, and there's purification. Hearing Prabhupada chanting certainly is purification, right? But what does Prabhupada say? You know, what do the devotees say? Okay, you should also chant. Right? We should hear that. Right? We should chant? Okay. How much? What should we chant? You should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. How should I chant? You should chant 24 hours a day. Oh, I can't do that. All right, okay. 64 rounds. Oh, I can't do that either. Okay, try 32. Well, it's too hard, Prabhupada. Okay, 16 minimum. Right? So, you know, hearing implies instruction. And instruction means orders are given. Orders should then be followed. So that way one gradually becomes purified. Then, as Krishna says, Tesham Satati Yuktanam Vajatam, well, not before that. Those who understand Krishna, worship him. Huh? And one of the what's the feature of their worship? What's the next verse? Or the verse before? Matschita matkata prana bodhayanta parasparam katiyantas jarmam nityam tujyanti jaramanticha. Actually, you know, this is where we get the higher taste, actually, from hearing regularly. Isn't it? By regularly hearing, by regularly chanting, regularly hearing, this is the rasa, rasayanam, the amrit that strengthens the devotee's spiritual focus and spiritual bodybuilding, if you like. This is our spiritual bodybuilding, hearing and chanting. This is the Hare Krishna gym. Right? At least building a spiritual body, not a material body. Right? If you want to build a material body, you go to the gym. You still got to do it on a regular basis to get the benefits. Right? Same thing. But they say no pain, no gain. So for us also, we have to put ourselves out to regularly hear and chant. But then that's Tushyanticha Ramanticha, that's where we get our nourishment and where we get our pleasure. Tushti means nourishment, Rama means pleasure. Then, acting on that though, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Ajatam Pritipurvakam, those who worship me with love, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give them the buni or the intelligence by which they can come to me. Yenamam Upayanti Te. And then, Tesham Evanukar, Tesham Evanukam Paratam, Ahamma Jnana Jamtamaha, Nasyam Yatma Bhava, Stok Jnana Deepa, Basvatar, is it? Yeah. With the Jnana Deep, with the man of knowledge. I destroy the ignorance in the hearts of my devotees, Krishna says. For those who constantly engage in devotional service. So it's not just hearing and chanting all the time, it's also doing seva. You know, if we're very, very elevated devotees, then we can chant Hare Krishna and just hear and chant all day long. Right? But we're, you know, most of us, I would suggest, not on that platform. And so therefore, we also have to do practical seva. In fact, I was reading a letter the other day, and Prabhupada says that serving Krishna without fruitive motivation is as good as chanting Hare Krishna. I thought that was pretty amazing, a very interesting statement. Very interesting statement. Because, you know, ordinarily we say chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And certainly, you know, we should do that, obviously. But very few of us can just sit down and that's all we do all day long. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns against people doing that. Because in this day and age, it means basically they're a charlatan. Or what we would say in Australia, a poser. You know what a poser is? A show-off. A show-off. Because, as Prabhupada says, you know, he would criticize. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada criticizes the Babajis in Vrindavan who make a show of chanting but then having affairs with the widows. Huh? So this is, you know, this is Prabhupada's practical experience. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's practical experience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's practical experience. Therefore, I think this is very interesting. Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture the other day. Prabhupada was saying, if you want to know what Krishna wants you to do, then follow Lord Chaitanya. And what does Lord Chaitanya say? Prabhupada quotes, Yare Deka Tarika, Krishna Upadesh, preach. Why Prabhupada put so much emphasis on preaching and not on, you know, bhajan. Solely bhajan, right? Wasn't that Prabhupada didn't do bhajan? He did bhajan. 16 rounds a day. Regular Bhagavatam class. Regular Bhagavad Gita class. But also go and preach. Put your, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Go and do something. Rather than make a show of being a very, very elevated devotee. And then fall down. Which is, you know, the history. We're just not that qualified. But, you know, our bhajan is regularly here to Srimad Bhagavatam. Regularly chant 16 rounds. Regularly associate with the devotees. Regularly take the shard. But also regularly go out and preach. So those who engage in devotional service, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. I destroy the darkness of ignorance. And, you know, it's not that we focus all on service either. There needs to be a balance. Life needs to be balanced. What does Krishna say? Yukta hara vihara sya yukta yukta jeta sakama su yukta swapna vabodasya yoga bhavati dukkaha. So that's the balance of things. Not too much work, but still you've got to go to work, right? And then not too much work and no sadhana. There has to be this. Actually, the basis of all of the things we're doing is the hearing. It's so important. That then means that at the end of the day, or you know, when our day starts, active day starts, if our sadhana is strong, then our focus remains on Krishna. And our activities remain centered on pleasing Krishna and the devotees. This is why the hearing is the basis. If we're very, very elevated devotees, then yes, we can hear and chant all day long. But that's generally by the measure of most men in Kali Yuga, Very few people even do that in this day and age. So that's why Prabhupada says, we have Goshtiya Nandis, not Bhajana Nandis. We still do our bhajan. You know, when you would meet Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he would ask him, Uriya. I don't know what he said. But he would say, when you meet a devotee, how you should inquire from them is not how are you going, which is what we usually as a going name, but how is your bhajan? That's the question. How is your bhajan? Right? So our bhajan should be good, strong, as it is here. Narada Muni, regularly hearing from the Bhaktivedantas every day, and then gradually, by their mercy, and by the mercy of Krishna in the form of his all attractive name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, his devotees, all of that, we become purified. We become like Narada Muni. Or as Prabhupada says here, we can become an associate of Krishna. Isn't that amazing? Just by regularly hearing. And of course, acting. As I mentioned, we hear, it's not that we just sit around and hear all day long. But it's because we can't do that, realistically. I remember we used to have to, on Janmashtami, we used to have to read the Krishna book. And we would read in the reception room, we would be reading the Krishna book. And I remember thinking, God, I'm hungry. I'm going to wait till midnight and have something to eat. And then, you know, we're trying to listen to the Krishna book and falling asleep. Just struggling. It was a struggle. And I think, oh, why am I have to go through this torture? <laughs> 16 hours to go before prasadam. But fortunately, there was always Korma's mercy in the kitchen. You could always go and burn off a bit of passion in the kitchen. So, you know, something active. We need to be active. It's our natures. And we have the good fortune of being able to serve Krishna. You know, which is also devotional service, which is also all attractive, which is all powerful. Purifies us. And by regularly rendering service, it mentions in the Bhagavatam, then we want to hear more. You render service to the devotees, that will naturally inspire us to inquire. Why am I such an idiot? Why am I so not advanced? You know, all I think about is having something to eat instead of wanting to serve Krishna. Of course, I'm only interested in eating prasadam, of course, so that's okay. So it's quite, you know, it's a spiritual process. And by regularly hearing, regularly serving, then one gradually is elevated to the platform of becoming an associate of the Lord. So that, you know, in this lifetime, if we follow this process, then we'll be purified to the point where we can be, if we, you know, the process is properly explained in the Krishna book. You leave this body and you then get to take birth in a family of the residents of Vrindavan to perfect your devotional service. Right? That's our goal. Is to become so absorbed in our devotional practices that we're ready in the next lifetime to perfect that in Krishna's association. So, hearing and chanting purifies us so that we become anagha, which means, you know, sinless. And then one will gradually be elevated further by the process of devotional service. And in that mood, we become attracted very, very deeply and affectionately and naturally to Krishna. You know, we want the situation where, now we're naturally, this hearing, a lot of my friends, the complaint is, I want to listen to the Beatles. We grew up listening to the Beatles, so we think, the Beatles. But just as we are naturally attracted to those things, now we want to be naturally attracted to the Hare Krishna mantra and to hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and to Krishna's pastimes. So, and that's a test, if we find that, Sergeant Peppers is no longer attractive, and now we're only thinking of Krishna, that means we're making advancement. And for, for you, maybe it's not Bollywood movies are no longer attractive. Or cricket, is no longer important. Right? That's a good test for both the Australians and the Indians. But if we don't care whether Sachin Tendulkar hits a century or not, then we can understand, yes, now we're making spiritual advancement. Right? We're not even interested in finding out what the score is. Although, I still keep a little interest in the cricket because that way then I can talk with my dad about stuff. Right? So we can dovetail some of these things in Krishna service. But you've got to keep good relations with your parents so that they can become devotees. Huh? Some practical. But that's not our focus. Our focus is to hear of what's the score in the spiritual world? How many demons has Krishna killed today? Prabhupada says, before lunch, Krishna's killed about 3 or 4 demons. At least. And that's what the cowherd boys are doing. They're talking about what Krishna did today. And they're telling the gopas and the gopis at home. So they're all hearing, look at all the wonderful things. Yaso mati nandana braja bharana. There's an example of all of the things of the songs of the residents of Vrindavan and what they're singing. That becomes attractive. That's what's most attractive to us. And that attraction is cultivated by regularly hearing and then regularly serving. Remember, a combination of these things gradually, shanai, shanai, uparamed. Gradually we become purified. Not that it happens. It can happen. There are examples in the Shastra where instant liberation back home, back to Godhead. But generally speaking, for the masses, it's a gradual process. So here, Anu. Narada Muni's advice or example, should I say, regularly hearing, regularly serving, regularly chanting, gradually purifying. That's our process. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources. As Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, Bhaktivedanta, in his previous life. This process of hearing in the association of the devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel Kali. And that's what we're doing. And we're all making progress. Any comments or questions? Mahatma Ji.
I was waiting to hear from you, as you said, Dharidhati Tarayana Krishna Desh, that the distribution of books, that was the Sushma Melmo.
Distribution of distribution of books. It doesn't only mean book distribution, but it certainly includes book distribution, yes.
Preaching to origin.
What's that?
Preaching to origin.
Yep. Preaching the holy name, but also prasadam distribution is same thing. Deity worship is preaching. Keeping the temple clean is preaching. Our good behaviour is preaching. Good behaviour. You know, being a gentleman and a gentlewoman. Ajahn Drupa told me the other day, here's an example. There's a gentleman who comes in every week? He changes the filters in the extraction system. Is that right?
Once a month.
You know what he told my wife this week when he came? He said, you know, every time I come to this place, I never want to leave. He says, the atmosphere here is special. He said, you cannot find the atmosphere that you experience here anywhere else. Huh? We don't, you know, we just go out of the temple. Going to the temple. Huh? Because we're here every day. And, you know, we see our mates. Oh, there he is. There's so-and-so. And him as well. And her. What's she up to? Huh? What are they up to? Because we're, you know, we're all residents of Vaikuntha already, so we just see all the residents of Vaikuntha as our mates. But we don't realise the potency of all of the service that's been performed to the deities, to the devotees, to the Bhagavatam. Super powerful. When somebody else who's absorbed in materialistic acts, you know, and they come into Vaikuntha. This man gets an opportunity to come to Vaikuntha every month. And he enters into the Vaikuntha atmosphere, and he thinks that everybody here, he sees the four arms of all of the devotees. He has the mood of awe and reverence. We have a more familiar, intimate relationship with the devotees. Right? So we sometimes, because we do have appreciation, obviously. But there is that saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? But here's a good example of how behaviour has an effect, powerful effect on people. You going to say something, Prabhu?
Hearing.
Yeah, it was a good question. Why don't we just hear Prabhupada? He's a pure chanter. My chanting is not pure, so better I listen to Prabhupada chanting than me. That's right.
And Sarvabhanga Acharya, when he asked, what is the temple, what's the most important item in spiritual life?
Yeah.
But some of those sort of kind of said, Pranam Meditabha.
Yes, chanting. Yeah. Yes. You know, there are examples. I was thinking about this last night when I was looking at this verse, thinking of things to say. And it just came to me now. There's the example of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. She was purified by hearing his chanting. Such was the potency of his chanting. So powerful. Right. So there are examples of being purified. And also, you know, having a chat with Ajahn Drupa the other day, you know, in kirtan, because we were talking about Annie's question, and in kirtan, there's you plus there's everybody else. And so it's kind of carried along by the power of association, by sangha. So it's very potent. Sankirtan is super powerful. Super powerful. But we need to also work on ourselves internally. For deep, you know, it's like, you know, they have deep tissue massage where they really get in and move things around. So we also need to get to deeply purify the heart. And that's done through japa. And that requires personal endeavour and effort and attention to detail, focus and attention in order to be effective. So it's, you know, in one sense, hearing is passive, but chanting is active. You actually have to work. But integral to chanting is hearing. Right? Integral to the chanting is hearing. So the hearing is automatically there. And of course, the focused, attentive hearing has the profoundest of effects, the most potent of effects. And we experience it, you know, when we're chanting and we're able to, by Krishna's mercy, he connects to us. You know, we think we're connecting to him, but actually Krishna's connecting to us. Then we feel deep satisfaction, deep realization, and we understand this is what we're meant to do. Right? This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But that doesn't happen so often, obviously, you know, fortunately. I know Vishal. Yep. In Vrindavan, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, do something useful. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and Prabhupada was results oriented. He was very much results oriented. How many books, how many devotees, how many plates of prasadam, what was the quality of the prasadam? Right? What was the quality? Prabhupada wrote a letter to all the temples of the world and he told them that they should have cooks on standby so that if anybody visited the temple, they could be served hot sabji and puris or chapatis. Huh? You know, Gopi Priya was asking me, you know, how do you manage to distribute all of this prasadam for free? And, because she said there are many temples around the world where they distribute prasadam but they charge people. And I said, well, our experience is that if you liberally distribute prasadam, then people will come and give donations. Right? People reciprocate. If you give Krishna, then they'll want to give back. This is natural. But, you know, you have to turn up at lunchtime on time. Otherwise, if you don't, you won't get something free. But, you know, so it's good. But actually, Prabhupada's standard, well, see, he wrote this in a letter, it was sent to all the temples. Tell all the temple presidents, when a guest comes, there should be cooks on standby who can give hot prasadam with puris, right? We'd have a queue. I'd be down here like a flash. Hot prasadam. You know, Bengali sabjis with puris. Yeah.
and some eggplant cookie.
Oh.
Nectar. You know, one of the worst realizations that I had was I used to, you know, as a very young devotee, it would be a birthday after Mangalarti. Then a little bit of fruit, then breakfast, then lunch, then the fruit offering, a little bit of the maha at 7 o'clock, and then the 9 o'clock. And the best was the 9 o'clock. Ghee, sabjis cooked with ghee and puris. But, you know, if you've eaten every offering, every offering of the day, have you ever tried waking up for Mangalarti? After eating the puris and the, you know, it's the best offering of the day, it's just nectar, but you can't have it. You can't eat it. Because if you eat that at night, then Mangalarti is hell. And I mentioned this before, you know, I'm not often, but certainly on more than one occasion, you know, I'd be asleep but in the Tulsi pranams. And everyone else is standing up and they're starting to sing, you know, namo namaha, and you're like, whoop, and beat yourself up. We've got another 2 hours to go. I better have a piece of burfi. Just to keep me going. What to speak of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam for us. Life is tough. So my realization, the worst realization I had was that, you know, the best offering of the day and you can't eat it. So, you know, what is it for? Ultimately it's for Krishna's pleasure. You know, not for our pleasure. No? Idam Krishnaya, Idam Nama Ma. It's not for me, it's for Krishna. That's the most important thing. Or as Prabhu said, do something useful. For Krishna's pleasure, for Prabhupada's pleasure. Well, that's very, very sad. You know, the aquatics are considered very fallen because they can't hear, you know, they're in the water, they can't hear the kirtan. But, you know, there's a subtle spiritual vibration that comes with the sound vibration which has potency. And, you know, if a person who's deaf can read, then at least they can read Prabhupada's books and get some benefit from that. Yeah, it's considered very unfortunate not to be able to hear, because that's the real benefit of the uniform of life, is that hearing capacity, oral reception. Anything else?
Well, can you say that the three aspects there, the hearing is from the spiritual master in terms of instruction.
Yeah.
And the sadhaka he does is attend to chanting.
Mm.
And the result is that you get the mercy of the Lord.
Yes, but you also have to act on the instructions, if that's what you, yeah. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So, hearing, inquiring, then serving. They're the three items.
And also recognizing who the spiritual master is important. You know, that person who gives us advice, good advice. What does Chanakya, Prabhupada quote Chanakya? Take gold from a filthy place, a qualified wife from a lower caste, and advice from a fool. So, you know, we can take good advice from anybody who gives it. And especially we take advice from the devotees. So in that respect, those people who instruct us, who train us, who guide us, they're our guru, our shiksha gurus. And very often we don't choose them. You don't get a choice. You get them. You get them. They manifest in a form that you don't choose. No? The first devotee that we met, our Vatma Pradashika Guru, the person who guided us on the way of devotional service, we didn't choose that person. It was by Krishna's, that's Krishna Kripa, right? Krishna's mercy that the devotee came and instructed us. Isn't it? We should worship that person. Value their association. They took their time to give us Krishna. And we probably didn't even want it. Huh? So we should learn to value who are the gurus. Recognize who are the gurus. Who's instructing us? Because we tend to be, oh, he's my guru. Just the person that we selected to take initiation from. Huh? Oh, he's my guru. So actually there's many, many gurus before that person. Some of them who we might have even fought with. I remember Corman used to, I thought, what's he giving me such a hard time for? I want to sleep in. Get up. Get out of bed. Go to Mangaladi. Okay, all right. But he's my guru. He helped, saved me from my ignorance, basically. Right? So I should honour that person who saved me from my ignorance. Even if I didn't like it at the time, I was an owl, I wanted to sleep. But turn off the light. That's an owl mentality. The light goes on and he doesn't want it. He wants to stay in darkness. So the person who opens the eyes of, the eyes to spiritual knowledge, that person is our guru. And serving them is our success. Then Krishna sees that and gives transcendental knowledge, as you say. Yeah, he sees the sincerity. Of the devotees. In their desire to please his devotees. Then when Krishna's devotees are pleased, what is it? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasadam nagati katopi. Is that right? By the mercy of Krishna, we get the devotees. The devotees are Krishna's mercy. So important. And by the mercy of Krishna's mercy, which is the devotees, we get Krishna. Powerful. So, that first person who gave us a book, the first group of devotees that we heard in the kirtan, the person who first served us prasadam. Right? I used to think, wow, this is amazing. And I used to think, when will they let me serve out prasadam? Devotees wouldn't let me serve. In those days, you got served, sit on the floor, and everybody got served. In fact, if you went to touch anything, they'd go, no, don't touch it. Probably because I was just some Muchi Malecha. Don't let him touch their pots. They're contaminated. So I was thinking, when are they going to let me serve? One day I'll be allowed to touch the pots and do the service. So the person who first gives you prasadam is doing... Actually, I remember the devotees in Adelaide were having a Lord Chaitanya festival, and they had the big statue of Lord Chaitanya pulling it down King William Road through King William, through Queen Victoria Square in Adelaide. And there must have been about 8 devotees. Right, that was the festival. And Raja Lakshmi came running over to our car. We were driving, we were stopped at the lights. And she gave my friend 2 bundi laddu. Right? And my friend Wayne gave me one. And I was looking at it. I thought, what are we going to do with this? I was going to throw it out the window. I was going to chuck it away. I said, what is this thing? And he said, we'll eat it. I said, oh, okay, all right, we'll eat it. That was my first prasadam that I had. First prasadam. And it was, I was just going to throw it away. I thought, what is this? What are these guys up to? Right? I threw it away. I was going to throw it away, but I didn't. He said, we'll eat it. I said, okay. Powerful. Another time my friends went to the temple for Govindan Puja, and they came home with all of this prasadam. And there were samosas. I remember the samosas now. And I said, wow, this is just fantastic. Beautiful. Prasadam was just beautiful. But then they gave me the gulab jamuns. I spat it out. I had the gulab jamuns. What is this? My mouth just exploded. Because I've never eaten anything so sweet in my life. So well, this is just—it's just like an overdose of sugar. Who could possibly endure that? The samosas I can understand. Salty, spicy was for this. But anyway, those initial connections with Krishna is those devotees attract, pulling, it's Krishna ultimately, through his devotees, basically pulling us towards him. Right? Because I remember a number of years later, my friend Kevin took me to the temple for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day in June, and we had the feast. I can still remember the tomato chutney that the devotee made. And then after that, I used to think, oh, I'm going to go back to the temple again and have some. So we had a shower. I used to go around to my friend's place. I would never say, let's go to the temple, but I just hoped that he would say, let's go down to the temple where and have lunch. So that way, Krishna's, through the devotees, gradually pulling. So that's. We should recognize those. That devotee Kevin, he was the one who instructed me. Chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, do this, do that. So many things he taught me. Yeah, most of the time I would go around his place just to smoke dope. Basically, that's what I would go there for. But through his association, he gradually introduced me to many of the practices of devotional service. I started doing those things. So I have a great appreciation for that devotee, even though it wasn't pure, but still it was an introduction to Krishna, and I benefited from it. That's interesting. Okay, let's finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.